The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
I'm Danielle Metz.
And I'm Robert Vaughn.
And this is the Danielle Metz Show. Quote, "It is not about creating an intellectual space. It is not. Do you not understand that? It's about creating a home here." This was something that a student from Yale yelled at a faculty member, Nicholas Christakis, back in October of last year in regards to an email that his wife had sent out, Erica was her name, regarding what to wear for Halloween and not worry about offending people.
Was that the one that was taking place outside in the quad?
Yes.
And he was surrounded by this mob.
And they wouldn't let him go, and they were screaming,
yes.
They were swearing at him. They told him to, why did he even work there? And they told him to quit, and eventually he and his wife did actually resign from Yale. Yale, this is in Yale.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of...
Should be called Yale.
Yeah. What kind of people are we introducing into universities where they say it's not about creating an intellectual space? Well, I came across a video by Paul Joseph Watson that quoted an article done by Laura Perrins from The Conservative Woman, talking about this is the daycare generation. These are kids that grew up largely in daycare for extended periods of time, where they have to shout to get attention, where they didn't get the safe spaces back then that they're demanding now when they're in university. They want the puppies and the coloring books. It's like they're recreating a childhood in university where they expect the faculty members to be their parents and the university to be a home.
Well, you have a teenager, so we'll just put him aside for the moment, because I want your personal experience about your two twins who are very young.
Yes, they're four.
They're 4 years old. Okay. Now, if you're paying attention to one and the other one wants your attention, what does the other one do?
They throw a bit of a temper tantrum.
Right.
A minor one. It was interesting you bring that up. We were working with my son. He was practicing his words because he's learning to read. And he goes on the TV and he picks the show he wants to watch. And he's learning to read each and every word. While we were doing that, my daughter starts throwing things and bugging because we're paying attention to him at that moment in time, and she didn't like that we weren't paying her equal attention for that brief period of time. So yes, that's exactly what happened.
Now, you're one parent to two toddlers. Now, if you go into a daycare, and I've been into many daycares, and you go into them, there's probably 20, 25 children. Some are still in diapers.
Yes.
And you may have one or two, tops three adults supervising. So if you can think of how it is for your children to get your attention and what they have to do by throwing a tantrum or yelling or, Mom, 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 that kind of thing. Ring
no,
a bell?
You just made me think I'm back at home again.
Can you imagine what it must be like for those toddlers, starting as young as 2 years old, in a daycare, trying to get the attention of the adult?
And who isn't even related to them, and they don't, mm-hmm. is a complete stranger.
And really has no... Should I say
investment
the same
in them.
Investment, same motivation to respond to that child that you do?
And I think this is what's translated into the behavior we're seeing with a lot of people in of that age group, the millennials or the snowflake generation, as I like to call them today, is that they didn't get the attention and learn how to better direct their frustrations or their anger or their emotions from a person who's paying attention to them. No, I'm not putting up with that behavior. Not that behavior is going to get my attention, which is what happens when you have a large group of kids and only one or two adults participating. Is that the only way to get attention is bad behavior? So they've taken that on and they're carrying it forward.
So you have that person at Yale screaming, and I did see the video, screaming, actually screaming at the top of her lungs in this man's face, to try to make him understand her argument. And then
he
was
so calm. He maintained his demeanor the whole time, and he kept saying, I can hear you, I'm listening, but I have a different view of how this university should be run. And we can discuss this. And she wouldn't discuss.
Yes,
she just screamed.
She could not take criticism. She could not take that somebody else had an opposing view, because she was with the mob who agreed with her. And here was the... the carrion, the victim being surrounded by these people, these daycare generation, and they were trying to eat him alive.
Yeah.
Eat him alive. And wasn't it just recently on the anniversary of Donald Trump's election that there was a scream day or something like
that? Yes, screaming helplessly at the sky. And apparently thousands of people took place or took part in it. The videos I have seen of it looked really pathetic.
I know. James Woods on Twitter posted one, says, I'm literally rolling on the floor laughing.
It's so ridiculous. Just, but that's the epitome of it, right? They think that screaming is what's going to get them what they want. It's going to change reality. It's going to get the attention of people. Unfortunately, they don't realize the attention it gets is ridicule. Because we all
Which is all it deserves.
It is all it deserves. When it's a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old, you can understand because they don't have control over their emotions yet. These are young adults that have supposedly gone through enough schooling and education that they should have that control, that level of maturity. The ability to not even entertain an opposing idea or respect it and can't even counter it. They have to shout it down. They have to yell. They have to scream. Temper tantrum. You tell a child, no, you can't have that because dinner's coming soon, so no snack right now. They throw a temper tantrum. That's essentially the level of maturity that these kids seem to be at.
So what is it about the daycare generation do you think is the cause of all this? Because I can think off the top of my head a number of them. One of them, of course, is being a fatherless society. There's no father figure there. You go into daycares. They're all women.
Yep.
Without exception, I've never seen a male
daycare
attendant. You have single mothers as well who may not even use daycare, but they're single mothers. Or you have, like in the school boards, a zero tolerance for aggression. Now, I'm not talking a zero tolerance for violence, but a zero tolerance for aggression. You cannot be aggressive. Now, that, to me, is a denial of the reality of human nature.
So no outlet.
And there's no outlet. And you know, kids, probably males especially, although I know a lot of aggressive women, are aggressive. And by that, I mean they scream, they yell. You listen to a playground for a school, what do you hear? I would never live next to a school. It's nothing but shrieking. And there's aggression. There's pushing, there's shoving, there's rough play, there's what did they call it, rough housing. You know, that's the nature of being a child. And
a very important one as well.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's where you get an understanding about other people and how to behave.
Learning boundaries.
Yes.
And what hurts, what doesn't hurt, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable.
So when they have a zero tolerance for that, those kids grow up to go to Yale, apparently.
Yes, and unfortunately many other universities as well, as you can see from Mizzou, name anyone that doesn't have a problem with this. It's nearly impossible. It's funny you mentioned about the single parent thing. My twins are in kindergarten, and there's another set of twins in their class. And they have problems with them all the time. My son came home with black marks all over his face because one of the other twins had pushed him off a slide. Turns out they have a single mom. And I'm like, a single mom with twins? How does she do it? That would be... you can do it for a short period of time, but if you want to get anything done, it's impossible. So I don't know how much discipline is going on in that family, but those twins are constantly harassing my twins.
Now, one of your first podcasts was on the feminization of education. And I would go further and say that there's a feminization of the entire societal structure here, right from the top all the way down. If you just have a look at Justin Trudeau here in Canada. Now, you cannot get a better example than a beta male than that. I mean, he is the top dog in this country.
Yeah, a metrosexual kind of guy.
Yeah, but I mean, he exudes no confidence. He does not come across as a leader. He has been feminized, and you just have to look perhaps at his parents to understand why he is the way he is. He was a drama teacher, for God's sakes.
There you go. He was in the education system.
Yes.
You have to be kind of feminine to do that.
Well, from Justin Trudeau on down to the fact that most schools now have teachers who are basically the complement is predominantly female. Where are your leaders? Where are your strong alpha male types as role models? Where do you get especially a boy, where do you get your idea of how it is to be a man?
That's a really tough question, because it's so saturating the culture that I can understand why men have higher depression rates, higher suicidal rates, higher...
We die a lot earlier than women, and I think I know why.
Because you want to.
Get out of here, yeah.
But no, there is no role models. There's no even... Well, there are a few in the entertainment media, but they're few and far between. Most of anything that a child sees is all about women empowerment. Women are just as good as men, or even better. And it's constantly shoved down their throats.
Actually, there's nothing inherently wrong in that. You know, the equality of the sexes
no,
when
equality.
It comes to ability and things of that nature, or the law, or their role in society. But it denies the fact that women are different than men, especially when it comes to the rearing of children. And you definitely need, although, I mean, you can grow a child without a father figure, but it's definitely a necessity, I think, to have one. If not a necessity, then it's a benefit.
Yes.
Certainly to have a father figure.
Well, you have to see the role playing. Like, again, going back to my twins, when they were much younger, my son stuck with me more, and my daughter stuck with her dad more. But as they got older, my son's like, no, daddy's going to do that because we're both boys. And my daughter is wanting to spend time with me because we're both girls. So they're seeing the gender roles and they're learning it. It wasn't not anything we foisted upon them, not any of that kind of stuff. It's just that's what they see naturally and that's what they need to reflect growing up. And not have, especially if you're a boy, not having a father figure in the house means you don't have a role model. All you're exposed to is the female. And daughters need their fathers, you know, daddy's little girl, right? To feel protected and feel like cared for as the princess or something like that. Even if they're a tomboy, they still want their father to protect them and be there. Women have more maternal natures where they're the ones that deal with okay, I'll make that right, or I'll make your lunches, I'll get this done, I'll kiss your boo-boo, I'll be that. But no matter how strong you are, you cannot replace the place. You can't replace the male figure. There's just no way.
I think I can recall the first time I understood that society was going down the wrong path with regard to zero tolerance for aggression, the feminization of the world. And that was through Bugs Bunny. I was watching that. Now, I grew up in the 60s, okay? I was born in the early 60s, and I watched the Bugs Bunny cartoons that were on all the time. Now, they go back to, I think, the late 40s. But there was one, you know, where the opera singer was practicing his opera, and Bugs Bunny was out there singing and playing on his banjo.
I love that one.
And the opera singer gets fuming mad and goes up to Bugs Bunny and takes his banjo and smacks it over his head. And, of course, the stars Bugs sees, right?
Of course, you realize this means war.
yes. another form of aggression. I think in the mid-70s, late 70s, they started censoring the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
I think that was more in the 80s, because I remember when that happened. And that's when I was watching them, Saturday morning cartoons, mm-hmm. back when we actually had those. Yeah, it was in the 80s when that started, and they started taking out the violence.
They started taking out, and they would just simply cut it out.
Yeah, and you're like, what happened?
Like, why is, okay, so the guy is getting mad, and then all of a sudden everything is okay. It's because they cut out the scene where he hit him over the head with a banjo. And there was another one with the singing frog. Why did he get everybody into the theater? Because of the free beer. But no, they cut that out. And now it's free admission, and everybody goes in like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You missed the whole point.
They completely wrecked the continuity of those cartoons or what they meant. And it was just, I hated that. I was so mad. I'm such a big Bugs Bunny fan. And when they did completely destroyed the cartoons. I mean, I went and bought the DVD set, so I have the whole collection with all completely exactly how they were supposed to be, and I showed them to my kids.
Good, good. You're a good mother.
Yes. Here's your cartoon violence.
You're an alpha female.
Still can't take the place of a man, though. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. So take care, behave yourself, and talk to you soon.
If you've enjoyed this presentation, visit www.justrightmedia.org for more programming that's not right-wing, it's just right.
Thank you.